This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome to the Sports Ticket. What a nice Friday afternoon it was, wasn't it?
Well, we've got this nice kind of mild temperature for this time of the year, and we've gotten through our atmospheric river.
I was going to say that. My gosh. I can't. You know, apparently they blew that thing up like the Northwest was going to drown.
Well, they do. I joke all the time because, you know, the atmospheric river, it's an event that's happened through history. It's never been not a thing, but we just came up with this name in the late 90s to really make it sound a little more intimidating. And every year here in Oregon, we get a catastrophic historic weather event, and this is just round one.
I know, and I'm just so scared right now. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Okay, hey, this segment's being brought to you by Sprinter Van of Salem, Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Van, and appreciate Brian's sponsorship of the show. And this is going to be a good segue here.
I've got an idea of how you can, you know, stay safe, you know, in these weather events. Get indoors somewhere.
Well, that's true. And a Sprinter Van is definitely like being indoors because you can stand up in this thing. And I think it's good if you've got like a basketball team. Mm-hmm. I think this thing could just like send a whole team somewhere over the mountain, 4x4, great gas mileage. They've got some down there, just right down on commercials. So
well, I mean,
see Brian.
They could even bring teams from like out of state, out of the area into town.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And, you know, we're lucky enough to have Chris Roach. I mean, he's putting on the Capital City Classic. Chris, welcome to the Sports Ticket.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Good. Well, we're excited to have you. We're excited for the tournament coming up. What are the dates on that? Is that starts next week or the week after?
Next week.
Well, it actually, we've grown over the years. We've added a youth tournament, so kids, boys and girls, grades 3 through 8 are involved, and that tips off this weekend. So the window on the map is now December 13th through the 23rd. The high school stuff begins the 18th and continues through the 23rd. But we've got young kids, like I mentioned, in grade school, boys and girls. We've got high school age, varsity, sub-varsity, really everybody's playing. And so we're really excited about that. We'll have, in total, probably a little over 200 teams involved across all the different levels, and very excited about getting that many kids involved.
That is unbelievable. So is this the first year that you've expanded like this?
No, we've had this. It's kind of grown over time. You know, we added the youth tournament a year or two in, I believe, and then for a while, we started just as a boys event, and 4 or 5 years ago, we made the push to add the girls, and that's been awesome. We love doing that, and the basketball's great. And so we've got our girl size actually is as big as our boy side in terms of numbers at the varsity level. We have 16 girls high school teams involved, really good programs, and 16 boys varsity high school teams involved. So it's just been over time we've evolved and grown, and the city of Salem has supported this event. The community, you know, the Mid-Willamette Valley community has been such a strong and enthusiastic supporter of this and embraced it that growing has just been a natural thing for us.
And so you've got teams coming in here from out of state. And so who are those this year?
Well, on the girls' side, there's a kind of a powerhouse from Utah, Bingham. And last year we had our first ever out-of-state team on the girls' side. Clovis West, another, you know, powerful team from California. So that we've been starting to develop that on the girls' side of things, the Capital Toyota girls' brackets. And on the boys' side, we've got three, you know, monster teams coming in. Ruston from Louisiana is our first team ever from Louisiana. And they have a kid who's just a mega athlete. He's 6'8". He's the number one tight end in America by some of the scouting services and a top 10 to 15 basketball player, and having that combination is extremely rare. 6'8", runs like a gazelle, tremendous athlete. He'll be a pro probably in either sport, football or basketball, but great team. He has another teammate that's in the top 30 in the country. It's just a mega team, very talented. And then we have St. Mary's from Arizona. They have the number 3 ranked player in America, 6'11", Cameron Williams. He's projected by NBADraft.net to be the number two pick in the 27 NBA lottery. So just a couple of years from now, he's going to go to Duke next year. Decent basketball there. Going to be, you know, a really chance to be a really incredible player and a household name. And they're a fantastic team too. They won the state championship in Arizona last year. And then another team that won the state championship in Missouri, Webster Groves. They've got a player named Scotty Atkinson, who's an incredible guard and does all sorts of things for them, kind of a tremendous all-around player. And their team is just really, really good, you know, top to bottom. So we've got three teams coming through town. And you know, the past few years, we've been able to attract teams that have players that are going to be, you know, professionals down the road. And to have them here in Salem, guys like Evan Mobley, who now plays for the Cavaliers, and Brandon Miller, who's playing for the Hornets, and the people we had last year with Jason Crow, the all-time leading scorer in California, and Elijah Arenas, Gilbert Arenas' son, another guy who's going to be a tremendous player. To have these sorts of guys, you know, right here playing in Salem at Willamette and on the girls' side over at Chemeketa, it's been incredible. And I think this year's lineup is, we also have tremendous statewide teams, you know, Westland, Tualatin, Sherwood, bunch of great schools coming in to play. And the local teams as well are very important to us. You know, we're a Mid-Willamette Valley event. We're proud of that. You know, we're sponsored by Mid-Willamette Valley companies like Capital Toyota and Les Schwab and others. So it's the local presence really matters to us. And we try to have our field be in the neighborhood of, you know, half being from the local area, because we want the local kids to have this experience of, you know, rubbing shoulders and getting to compete against national level players and national level teams. It's just something you don't, not every kid gets to experience in high school. So it's become really special that way. And you know, seeing where your team is, you know, on the boys side, I think the local teams involved are like West Salem, Sprague, North Salem, Western Christian, West Albany. These teams are really going to get a good measuring stick of where they are. And you know, what are their weaknesses? Because every weakness will be exposed by the talent we're playing. And just how do you get better? And I think it's a tremendous benefit to those programs.
So Tualatin won it last year, did they not?
They did, which was really quite a, I mean, it's quite a feat because we went a number of years. I think they probably went 6-7 years where an Oregon team didn't win it. And then West Salem won it one year, which was amazing. They're the only Salem team to ever have won it on the boys' side. And then last year, Tualatin kind of upset the field and won it, which was great. We had an all-Oregon final, Tualatin and Oregon City. So that was fun. It's hard to do. You know, I root for all our teams. We'd love to see Oregon teams do well. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get past these out-of-state teams on the boys' side. The girls' side is set up a little differently. The boys is one big 16-team bracket, do or die. You know, you kind of everybody's in together. On the girls' side, the Capital Toyota girls' bracket, we have the Tundra bracket and the Camry bracket. So they're split in two, and we will have local teams who advance in both of those. And lots of good teams in that. I mean, besides like West Salem, South Salem, Sprague, Amity, you know, those type of local, Cascade Central, those are all local teams playing. We also have, you know, South Medford, Beaverton, Westland, Bingham, which I mentioned from out of state, South Albany, just really, really good, talented team. So if you want to see some great high school basketball, we're talking just not just local. This is, you know, as good a high school basketball as you can find. It'll be right in Salem at Willamette, the 18th through the 23rd, and at Chemeketa, the 19th through the 22nd. The boys are at Willamette, the girls are at Chemeketa.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. A lot of great talent coming in. How many total teams are there again?
Well, there's 200 overall, 200 or so overall, 16 in the varsity boys, 16 in the varsity girls, about 50 sub-varsity teams, and then 100 and some youth teams. So it's all ages, everybody's playing, and all for, you know, it's just a great event to have in Salem because we really didn't have anything like this. I mean, it's kind of grown into, you know, the marquee prep, you know, hoop event for sure, maybe any event in the Mid-Willamette Valley. So we're super proud of that, and I think it's an experience. And right before Christmas is a great time, you know, if you're there's not a ton on the calendar. So This is filling a void that way, maybe in the community as well.
So with the youth tournament tipping off this weekend, I'm assuming that's, is that all at Willamette as well? Are these kids getting a chance to play on a college basketball?
The youth tournament's at, I believe, it's at multiple sites. It's at the Pack Community Center, South Salem High School, Sprague High School, West Salem High School, maybe another. We have so many teams that it, you know, it just kind of gobbles up a bunch of areas. We're very thankful for all those partners hosting the event. And but that's going to be fun, too. I mean, those games are going morning till night. And it kind of helps us with our, you know, we've grown a bunch in attendance, you know, in recent years. And part of that's been for the high-profile players and teams that are coming to town. Those definitely attract the basketball fan. But we've also grown, I think, organically through the youth involvement and just cross-promoting the event across the ages. And, you know, when you have kids that are growing up playing in North Salem's feeder program or South Salem or Sprague or whoever, and then they learn about the event, it just grows the interest. And so I think we've got a good thing going that way. And the whole idea is we want everybody playing because, you know, being involved in athletics is a great thing for young people. It teaches them discipline and camaraderie and sacrifice and unselfishness and all those great ideals that sport bring about in life. And so we're trying to make this as big and good as we can for kids in the Mid-Willamette Valley.
I think it's awesome. I love what you're doing. Put on a phenomenal event. And yeah, we appreciate you just coming on. So how can people, how can they get tickets to attend? I mean, is it on an individual basis? Can they buy like an all tournament pass? How does that work?
We've got, yeah, we definitely have tickets available different ways. You can walk up to the gate and buy a ticket for a solo game. You can, I would recommend getting them ahead of time. You can buy them online at capitalcityclassic.com/tickets. And we have all week passes as well. And if you want a super pass, you can go to any of the games, boys, girls, sub varsity, anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want. And it just kind of takes you everywhere. So we'd love to see people out there, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, these are great programs, and they're all striving to achieve things. And if you enjoy basketball, it's definitely the place to be in Salem right before Christmas.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. So definitely going to check that out. That's going to be a blast. All right. Chris, hey, do you want to mention who your sponsors are? Because I think it's important because you can't do it without them.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks to you guys very much for being a supporter and a partner of ours. We appreciate it. Capital Toyota and the Case Spear family have been amazing. They're, you know, people talk about being involved in the community, and then there's some people who just really are. And Capital Toyota is one of those. You see them a lot of places supporting things, all sorts of things that make our community better. And the Capital City Classic is definitely a beneficiary of Capital Toyota's value in the community and the investments they put in the community. So we thank them. The Grand Hotel and the Hotel Salem are our official hotels. We very appreciate them for all the help they're giving us, put this on and helping us with lodging the out-of-state teams, which is important. Mega Foods is a big sponsor. Les Schwab Tires, a whole bunch of people are very supportive, and we're grateful for all of it. And I appreciate you giving me the chance to mention just a couple of them.
Absolutely, because it is important. Because again, you can't do it without them, because it's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort, it's a lot of work, and it costs money to do this thing. I mean, it is not free. So you got to have those key partners to make these things come to pass. So, Chris, really appreciate it. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say, or do you think?
Well, the only other thing I'd mention is one of the really fun events is our contest extravaganza, and that's happening Saturday night at 8:45 at Willamette. And it'll involve all, you know, some of the high-profile participants in the event. We've got a slam dunk contest, a three-point contest, a need for speed contest, a half-court shot contest, a whole bunch of fun activities going on. Very relaxed. It's free to the public, so anybody could come over to Willamette 8:45 Saturday the 20th and enjoy. And if you haven't been out to a game or you just wanted to see these guys in a little more informal setting, the guys and gals will all be there competing. So we'd love to see you.
That'd be great.
Heck, I would pay to see Jeff in that slam dunk contest. You might have to lower the hoop for him a little bit, but I think it would be a fun one.
I think I need a trampoline.
He wants to take a go at it. We'll get him in.
Yeah, I'll come down and blow up my other knee. So
we just got to make sure we get you signing the waiver beforehand.
Yeah, that's right. I'll need a pool to land in. You know what I mean? That's funny.
Well, thank you guys very much, and all the best to you guys.
Likewise, Chris. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, Chris Chris Roche from the Capital City Classic. Appreciate him joining us. And if you've got time, get out there, watch some basketball starting this weekend and going through the 23rd. Isn't that what he said, Hunter?
Yeah, 23rd. So, yeah, the girls' bracket starts on the 18th and I think ends on the 22nd. And the boys are the 19th to the 23rd.
Sounds great. Okay, Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Jeff and Hunter with you. And this segment is being brought to you by none other than your favorite pizza place in town, Domino's. Three-topping pizza for $7.99 in most locations. Call to make sure, or 20% off your order.
Boom.
It's so funny. I laugh every time I hear that ad.
Well, and that's I always sit there and go, you know, it's ads like that that give you that one line that you go boom every time you hear it.
And I think everybody uses that.
You sing along, you use it when you're on your sports shows, you do all those fun things.
I mean, didn't John Madden start that? I remember him calling games and boom. He was great.
That's right. And of course, speaking of the NFL, we did have Thursday Night Football last night in quite a bit of a thriller of a game for the Atlanta Falcons upsetting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a last minute field goal, especially because Atlanta has been eliminated from the playoffs. So they are just playing spoiler at this point. And the Bucs were in first place in the South there until this loss, and now the Panthers, with a win, take sole possession of first place.
Yeah, what a disappointment for the Buccaneers. I mean, you have the game pretty much wrapped up with only about 9 minutes left to go, and you allow the Falcons to score three times on you?
Well, it was almost more than that, because the crazy part of this thing is with about 9 minutes or so left in the game, Tampa Bay's up two. The Falcons put one in the end zone and then go for two. And I'm kind of going, but I'm doing the math in my head. I'm going, if you kick it and you score another touchdown and you kick that one, you're tied. So they go for two. They don't get it. So now they're down by eight. Baker Mayfield then, of course, on the next possession throws an interception. The Falcons take it back down, score again, and go for two and miss it again.
Unbelievable.
So literally with less than 2 minutes left in the game, the Bucs were still up by 2 points and couldn't get the first down to keep the clock running. The Falcons took possession and a long field goal, and they win the game. And I'm just going, if you're the first place team in the NFC South, you cannot afford to give away a game like this.
Well, you know, two of the teams in the NFC South have been eliminated, New Orleans and Atlanta.
Well, yeah, with those Saints, there's not a surprise there. They've been...
Are they back to being called the Aints?
Pretty
close.
Do
you remember that? That's a long time ago.
There have been some struggles, and of course, the Falcons, played okay with Penix and okay with now Kirk Cousins taking over, and just but they haven't. You know, they're unable to compete with the Buccaneers. But the Panthers, being the surprise of the South, like I said, with a win, are in sole possession of first place in the NFC South.
But it looks like a half a game.
Well, they'll be up a game if they win this weekend.
Well, that's very true. Mm-hmm. And so, the Panthers, they're playing the Saints.
Uh-oh, Panthers are looking at first place.
Yeah, I think that's a win.
Well, we could have said that about the Buccaneers playing the
Falcons. Well, I guess you're probably right. I guess you just never know.
Well, in other big NFL news, I think we need to mention this one. Hall of Fame finalist coming out of retirement to potentially play at 44 years old. See, Jeff, there is still hope.
I'm a little older than that.
Well, okay. There's still hope for both of us. We still have our NFL dreams are still alive thanks to Philip Rivers.
So how long did Philip play for the San Diego Chargers?
A number of years, and then had his last season for the Colts. And I believe either the head coach or the offensive coordinator for the Colts, and at the time that Philip joined the Colts five years ago now, had been the Chargers offensive coordinator. So he had a relationship with him, joined the Colts, actually had a very good year. I think was like 12-5 or something in that range. I mean, 10-7. They had a good year in his final year. Of course, he retired at 39, 40 years old. And now with Daniel Jones going down with an injury and his backup getting hurt, the Colts are looking at either their practice squad quarterback or Phillip Rivers, who has signed a practice squad contract but could be activated to the main roster for this weekend to start against the Seattle Seahawks. And this is after he has passed the first round of Hall of Fame voting to get, you know, so he is on the final ballot to be elected into the Hall of Fame this year. If he does play on Sunday or joins the Colts active roster for the game, he is now resetting the clock and couldn't join the Hall of Fame for another 5 years.
Well, I'm wondering what really pulled him to come out of retirement. I mean, did he make some bad investments and he needs some extra cash? I mean, would you do this?
You spent 40 or more, you know, 40 or so years living and breathing football. He is the head coach of a high school team that just won the state championship currently. So it's a little like, you remember the Jim Morris story in Major League Baseball? He was coaching high school and did a tryout at 35 years old and signed with the Rays and ended up getting into the big leagues for a couple of years. But that's the thing is Phillip Rivers bleeds football, breathes football, everything else. So when the Colts are in a desperation, I mean, this is a desperation maneuver, bringing in a quarterback with two games left in the season to say, hey, you know our system, you know the way we do things, can you come and help us out for a couple of weeks? I think it's fun, and it's definitely raising the headlines for a team that's on the verge of making the playoffs.
Yeah, they're 8-5 right now, and there's three games left, okay. Hunter.
Let's see, you're right.
They've got the 49ers.
I'm doing bad adding.
No, that's okay. 49ers, Jaguars, and then the Texans to finish it all off.
And that's after the Seahawks this weekend.
And, you know, the Niners are 9-4. The Jaguars are 9-4. And the Texans are 8-5, just like the Colts. So this is not going to be an easy road for Phillip Rivers coming in.
Well, and that's the trick, is that you get the Jags and you get Houston, the two teams that are competing with Indianapolis for the playoff spot out of the AFC South. So the reason, I mean, and you can understand the reason to go to Phillip Rivers and say, hey, you've had a ton of success in your career. You're still throwing like an NFL quarterback. You might be a little, and he's admitted, he's a little heavier than his retirement day. But it's kind of like, if you can come in and you can lead this team rather than an unproven practice squad potential rookie, I'm sure, coming in and trying to give that last playoff push, I think it improves the odds of the Colts of getting into the playoffs. Because, like you said, the Jags and the Texans, they still have head-to-head games with both of them. They can win those two and you know, maybe beat the Niners, maybe beat the Seahawks, and all of a sudden you're looking at a team going into the playoffs. And what a way to come out of retirement and give it that final push.
You know, I wonder if he's going to be kind of a player coach as well, because obviously, you know, he's won a championship.
Well,
with
a certain
coach.
Well, it's definitely going to be a leadership position, but that's what the quarterback is in the NFL. If you are not a coach on and off the field as the quarterback of an NFL team, are you really doing your job?
Well, no, and I completely agree with that. So, you know, I guess if he's willing to come out and do it, I mean, the guy had a cannon when he was playing for the mm-hmm. Chargers in that last year with the Colts. So at 44 years old, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. That's a very, you know, football, I mean, they're going to go out there and kick his butt. They're going to come after him. And can he really run like he used to? I mean, really, actually, Phillip really couldn't run.
No, he was a pocket passer during it was 17 years that he played in the league. So like 16 of those, and then, you know, one with the Colts there. But he is going to be on the short list of NFL players, if he does play, who is also a grandparent.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you gotta take the average age of an NFL player. You know, the you know, a lot of guys are out of the league by 30, maybe a little bit older. So
do we know who has been the oldest player to play in the NFL? Has that stat come up anywhere?
I am not seeing it. I know that the last NFL player to be a grandparent while he played was actually Brett Favre.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, Brett was up there. He had some gray hairs in that beard of his.
Yeah, and you know, and there's been a few baseball players. You know, most recently is Julio Franco, who, you know, he played till he was like what, 47.
Yeah, that was well. What about Albert Pujols? I mean, I think he's getting up there.
Well,
too.
He was only 41 or 40. He's retired now. But you know, and there's been major league players come in. I mean, that have played well into their 40s, but not in that role. In the NBA, I believe the grandparent of the NBA was Robert Parrish, Celtics.
Really?
Yep. Because he played a long time.
All right. Well, hey, let's get out to a break, Hunter. Sports Ticket. We'll be back right after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
The Sports Ticket, the time you've all been waiting for. It's coming to you. But after we say that this segment's being brought to you by Bowenvine Burger Bar on South Commercial, where, you know, if you're still looking for a place to have a little event or a party before Christmas or whatever, you didn't plan very well, Bowenvine's got a nice little conference area there, where a nice little room and amazing burgers that you can have catered into that room, and it's easy for you.
Well, I think this would be a perfect place for the bowl committee to sit down, enjoy a great burger, and figure out solutions to their problems.
I think you have a great solution. Let's tell everybody what you're... And you need to trademark this, by the way.
That's right. Trademarked. I'm calling it right now. Right. If it ends up making some money, I'm going to cash in. So number one, when it comes to the bowl games, you eliminate the bowl games. Let's start an NIT-style college football tournament. And that way you have a championship tournament, an NIT-style tournament, where now... You know, if you do 12 teams in both tournaments, you can take the top 12 teams, no matter who they are, and play in the championship. You take the next group of 12, and they're playing in your NIT. And that way you have all your conference champions. You have everybody represented the way they feel like they should be. And it actually makes being a top 25 team more relevant. You take that NIT one, you can extend it out even wider if you want to. Add in another group of games, whatever you want to do. Okay, that's that. Okay. The one that I sit here and go is the best way to do it and will break in huge money. It could rival the NFL draft day one in terms of viewership. The committee needs to sit down and you use a computer system to auto-generate virtually a no-name team based on all the credentials that these teams are being weighed on when they select it. So now the name recognition plays no part in any of this. They don't get to know who it is. Nobody knows who it is. You set up a computer program that will never, that has like a certain date, the day before, an hour before, you know, it's announced. That way you can even get rid of the leaks. Okay. So now they sit down, they evaluate these teams. You put this thing on ESPN or some other networks willing to pay big bucks for it. And you literally step up there. You have your bracket to be revealed. Only five teams are listed, and that's your five conference champions because you know who those are. And then they can reveal number, you know, the number five seed, the number six seed, and all the way through this thing. And teams will literally have massive watch parties. And imagine the fun of seeing an Alabama or a Notre Dame, and they're cut into this massive watch party where half of the school is there watching on a jumbotron to get picked. And what if they don't get picked? I mean, it's like seeing those guys that show up on the NFL draft day one dressed to the nines that don't get selected, like Shedeur Sanders.
No, I think that's a great idea, Hunter. And I think that it's just a nice transition out of the bowl system that really has no value anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said in the segment before, you've got 5 and 7 teams that are playing in a bowl game, and it doesn't even make any sense. There's a lot of money that goes into just having teams at a bowl game, and I think, you know, the further down the road we go, I think more schools are not going to want to go to these bowl games, and so I think they will want to have a chance to be a champion.
Yeah,
of an NIT style playoff system for football.
Well, especially when you're talking about a James Madison or Tulane or North Texas, these teams that aren't going to be at the level of the teams that are playing Oregon, Ole Miss in this tournament. These are teams that would excel in an NIT. You win that NIT tournament, and guess what? Now you're sitting here going, "There's a recruiting tool that plays off massively." You know, we are on the verge of being a top 12 team. You know, you have that bragging right because now you're sitting there winning an NIT tournament. It's so worthwhile. But they need to figure out a better way to do this. They need to figure out. And of course, with the conference championship games, if they're going to continue with those, you almost have to have all the rest of those teams in the top 25 playing in a game the same weekend so you can evaluate everybody across the board.
I agree with you. And I think another scenario would be to, you know, just get these teams to go with the computer system and take all the subjectivity out in, of this entirely, because what you'll do is you'll eliminate somebody paying somebody off. I mean, you may hate me saying that, but I'm being honest with you. It happens everywhere. It all happens behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So it eliminates everything, I think.
Well, and as Notre Dame claims, the ACC campaigned, actually ran the ACC network, played the Miami Notre Dame game. The ACC campaigned to get Miami into the playoffs over Notre Dame. That's where that fracture is. Imagine this on championship weekend. What if Notre Dame and Miami, being the teams that were potentially seeded against each other, had to play a play-in game? That eliminates everything, because then it's a winner-take-all.
Is it going to come to that? Because, you know, the NCAA tournament does do that with, like, what, the 11 seeds and then a 16 seed. Yep. They have a play-in game.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can do that with football, because that, I mean, you can. But that's just, going to be playing a game like 2 weeks after the season is over.
Well, here's why it won't happen. Because championship weekend, there's 9 games getting all of the focus. You throw a game in Miami and Notre Dame that is a play into the champion or to the playoffs game, and that might outweigh and outrank every one of those championship games.
That's why they have to go away.
Yeah, minus Indiana and Ohio State.
That was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Came down to the wire, and Ohio State could have won that thing. I mean, two very, very, very good
talking,
football teams.
I'm talking from the viewership financial side of things. You can't put in a non-championship game that's going to outdraw these championship games.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Even if you had an NIT style, you're going to get a lot more viewership, a lot more money, and a lot more people going to those games.
Yep.
Now, because there's, you know, it's win or go home, and you can keep going. So you're going to have more apt for people to go to these games than just a stupid bowl game.
Well, and just be aware that there's more changes coming to college football.
Oh yeah, there's changes all the time.
Yep.
And,
yeah, every year there's a new some. Every year a new controversy, and every year new changes. So
that's right.
Be prepared. Hold on tight.
Okay, we got to get out to a break. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Well, here we are in the KYKN studios for the third segment of the Sports Ticket, which is being brought to you by Color Tile of Salem, which, you know what, if your house has got some serious effects from that atmospheric river that we just saw earlier in the week. I think that he's got waterproof floorings. You know, it's on sale. That nice LVT, luxury vinyl tile. In case you know what that acronym stood for. That's what I'm here for, Hunter.
That's right. Well, you know, with that atmospheric river coming through, it's all of the feet, whether it's your foot or an animal foot,
right,
that walk in and out of your house. I'm sitting here going, you know, during that thing, you let the dogs out to go to the bathroom, and oh my goodness, when they come back, they are a muddy, soaked mess, and you need some waterproof flooring for that kind of behavior.
That's true, unless you've got some, AstroTurf, fake grass, you don't have to worry about mud.
Well, you know, the other nice thing about Color Tile is, because of they have the, you know, those cool computer systems where you can take a picture of your living room and see what the different flooring will look like. That way there's never controversy when you get your floor installed.
That's true. It's nobody's fault but your own.
That's right. Well, that's what I mean. There's no controversy. It's not like the college football playoffs where there's constant controversy.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking about this all week, Hunter, and really, I came to the conclusion, I think this is the beginning of the end for the bowl system.
Yes. The college bowl, I said this a couple of years ago. I said the moment they went to a 12-team league, they made every bowl game seem completely irrelevant.
And it is.
Uh-huh.
It is. And that's why Notre Dame, because they didn't get selected, they've been crying a river.
And they refused to play in a bowl game. They decided they will decline a bowl game invitation, and they will concentrate on next year. As they, you know what, say there's irreparable damage with the ACC. I think the Big 12 commissioner is calling out their behavior. Notre Dame is a little upset about the way things ended up.
You know, that they sound like people from USC, the University of Spoiled Children. That's exactly what they sound like.
Well, they've been a big rival of theirs for a long time.
I know.
So who can be more spoiled?
So the shoe fits, in my opinion. But yeah, I think, you know, everybody's getting butthurt about everything. Everyone's offended that they didn't get in. And you know what? Guess what? You lost a couple games.
Yeah.
So don't lose those games. Well, your schedule was easier than most that are in the college football playoff.
The game that they lost that would have made the difference in the world was week one against Miami. Mm-hmm. And that's what ended up becoming the deciding factor that put Miami in the playoffs and Notre Dame out.
But I get their gripe, though, because they were actually ahead of Miami in the polls for like 3 weeks prior to, and then they got flipped.
So,
and neither team played.
Well, and see, that's where I come down, is I sit here and go, we have the coaches poll, we have the AP poll, and then halfway through the season, they start putting out the college playoff poll. And I sit here and go, what's the point of that? You know, what they should have done, you let the coaches poll and the AP poll go, because they're very similar, if not identical, to what the playoff poll ends up being. If you don't say a word with this playoff poll until the season is over and you just put out your list at the end, then there's no question marks. Teams can sit there and see how they're doing based on these other two polls, what their possibilities are, what the likelihood is. But the moment the college football bracket playoff predictor or whatever it is comes out, now all of a sudden that's the only thing these teams are paying attention to. And they're sitting there going, well, we're in this position, we're in. Or we're in this position, we are out. Whatever the scenario is. And why, if it's only 12 teams going to play up, why do you have to put a 25-team list out there? Why not put a 12-team list out there?
Well, here's the other thing too, Hunter, is, okay, you've got your AP and your coaches' polls. And so how are they going to dictate? Because they do dictate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to have a lot of, you know, pull from the committee that chooses the 12 teams. It's just the way it goes. So why, I don't even know why you need that college football poll.
You don't. And that's the thing. Bring it out. You literally do the selection at the end of the year. Why put one out? Because by having it out week after week, the committee did themselves two disservices. One, it's constantly ranking Notre Dame above Miami until they were back to back. And then they had to flip it because of the Miami win. Okay. That's number one. Number two is the Alabama situation, where you have a three-loss team in the playoffs simply because of the way the committee ranked them prior to their championship. If that list had never been out, you could have eliminated Miami. Notre Dame and Miami could have been in there, or you could have eliminated Alabama. Miami and Notre Dame would have both been in there. And when Alabama sits there and says, well, that's not fair, we lost our championship game, say, how do you know we had you ranked in there in the top 10 prior to that?
Well, the problem with Alabama is the first game out of the gate, they lost to Florida State, who ended up being just a horrible team.
Yep.
At the end of the season. I mean, you can say that about Penn State too. Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I don't see where they're getting off thinking that as with their three losses, why in the world should you be in there? There's no way. You just got destroyed in your championship game.
Yeah.
You didn't go down at all in any of the polls. You stayed at number 9 where you started, and other teams that lost went down at least one place.
BYU went down one place.
And Virginia.
And Virginia went down two places.
That's right. And so you lose, you go down. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, then maybe you need to go and talk to, you know, the committee and say, you know what, enough of the championship games for conferences, because mm-hmm. that should really go away in this scenario.
Well, yeah, and that's the challenge, is the two things. So like we said at the top, the bowl games are going to go away. I mean, you go back a couple of decades and you had just, you know, a handful of really big time bowls. And then all of a sudden they saw the money in the bowl series, and now everyone had a bowl game. I mean, there is literally right now 5 and 7 teams playing in bowl games this year. Okay.
Why would you do that?
Because of the money that was in it. Well, guess what? Viewership last year, I think, was way down. It's going to be even farther down this year. These bowl games mean so little. The best players don't even play in them anymore. That whole bowl series is going away.
Okay, well, Hunter has a solution. He came up with something earlier this week, and I think it's viable. So we're going to get out to a break. Stay tuned, because you're going to want to hear this, the Sports Ticket, right here on 1430 KYKN.
the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
The Sports Ticket final segment is going to be a quick one. And we don't have any games coming on after this, do we?
No.
This is like the first week where we don't have one.
Yeah, no. Next Tuesday, we will kick off our high school basketball season.
Very nice. I think, is it Sprague Girls? Are they?
I believe so. I don't have the schedule right here in front of me. But, of course, we'll update.
Way to bring that one up, and we're not prepared.
That's
by the way, this last segment being brought to you by Auto Team Service Center, a better way to maintain your car on the blown-up street of McGilchrist. It's getting better.
They're prepared for you.
The cones are still out.
At least Auto Team is prepared for you, unlike us. Come on.
Oh, gosh. But
of course, next Saturday, we have the James Madison Dukes at the Oregon Ducks.
That's right. So that's really not supposed to be much of a game, but every time you say that, it always ends up turning out to be, you know, a little tighter than you think it is. I mean, James Madison, they got to, you know, where they are. They're in the playoffs, so they can't be a slouch. So I think you better be prepared no matter what.
And the winner of that game moves on to face Texas Tech, which I think if the Ducks can do it, that becomes a nice winnable game, especially if we kind of repeat what we saw a year ago, where the Ducks, coming off a win, are coming in with a little extra momentum.
We'll see. I hope that's the case. They have the easiest trail to the championship game, so we'll see if they can do it.
Well, and of course, that's in the Capital One Orange Bowl, and I think that thing kicks off at like 9 o'clock local time.
That'd be two trips to Florida in like 3 weeks.
Hey, well, stuff. Maybe we should do that. At least one of those. Come on.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.